About to get Pentecostal around here. I've been called a Baptistal before, but I'm telling you, that's good stuff. That blessed my heart. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So I got some amens and some head nods on that, brother. Wow. Well, praise God. I want to share with y'all something, some very important news. Some of y'all already know, but most of you don't. Wednesday, I became a pawpaw once again. That's real important to me. Amen. His name is Grayson Dean. He's 7.5 pounds and 21 3/4 inches long. Amen. His initials are GD. And that just so happens to be the initials of the gangster disciples that I work with in the hood. And I told my daughter, I said, I'm going to walk up to him and say, "What up, GD?" And she said, "Oh, no, you're not, Daddy." My other grandson, my son's son, said, "Papa, what you going to call him?" I said, "Anything I want to." And he said, "Yes, you will." So I love my grandbabies. He makes my fifth one. And we've got another one that'll be here in about 8 months. So, hallelujah. They're just, they keep having youngins, and I keep getting excited about it. Amen. I love my children. I love my wife more than any other person on the face of this earth. We've been married almost 39 years. Amen. When we got married, I was 17, and I'm sorry, she was 17, and I was 19. And I'd get up and go to work, and she'd get up and go to high school. Somebody said, "You might be a redneck if you take your spouse to the senior prom." Well, I guess I am, because we were married when we went to her senior prom. But I love my wife and thank God for her. And she gets sweeter the older she gets. Amen. I tell folks that she's given me 37 of the best years of my life. And they said, "Well, we thought it was 39. I said, "Two of them wasn't so hot." But anyhow, you know, no marriage is without controversy every now and then, and I understand that, and God's given us grace, and we just more in love now than we've ever been, and I thank God for my wife. Now, I want to give you a testimony, and I've given this here before, and usually when I go to do a revival at a church for the first time, I'll share this testimony, because when I share it, people will say, "I know that," but to articulate it, it sets folks free. Just to get it out there. It's helped so many folks, and I've had people say, "I remember that message you preached on that," and I've never preached a message on it. I just share the testimony, and then I'll preach something else. But that's all they heard the whole night. Well, 36 years ago, my wife prayed to receive Christ, not long before I did, and she began to live for Christ in front of me, and her pastor began to come over and witness to me that. And Pinehurst Baptist Church exhausted all their soul winners. And then they called Ball Baptist Church. And Ball started sending all their soul winners. They called Tioga Baptist Church. And Tioga started sending all their soul winners. And about every night of the week, except for Sunday night and Wednesday night, somebody was knocking on my door trying to win me to Jesus. And Jimmy Griffin said I was the cleanest lost man in Ball, Louisiana. Because every time he'd come over, I'd be in the shower. I tell my wife, "I don't want to hear it. Tell them I'm in the shower." And so, anyhow, I'd go in the bathroom, turn the shower on, and just sit there and wait till they left. And so, anyway, one night, God got me ready, and Brother Bill Gordon came over. I didn't go jump in the shower, and he came in. And in my living room, there's bullet holes in the wall and the ceiling and the floor where I get drunk and high and shoot the place up. And he said, "I'm not here to tell you you got to quit smoking dope or getting drunk or doing drugs or any of this other stuff." He said, "I'm here to tell you, if you'll get Jesus in the temple, he'll run the money changers out." And I got down and gave my heart and life to Christ. And boy, God put a peace in my heart. He put a joy in my heart. He put a love in my heart. And he set me free. Amen. And I hadn't got over it yet. Praise God. And so anyway, my wife had gotten saved not long before that. And 10 years later, I was doing a revival just south of Memphis. At Ebenezer Baptist Church, and on Monday morning after our two services on Sunday, she came up to me and she said, "Ronnie, I don't know what's going on, but last night during the invitation, I felt like I needed to go forward and give my heart to Jesus." And I said, "Well, baby, don't gamble with eternity. Make sure you're saved." And she said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know what's going on." Well, Tuesday morning, She said, Ronnie, something's happening. I felt again last night during the invitation like I needed to go forward and get saved. I said, Susan, I love you, and I don't want to go to heaven without you. Make sure you're saved, baby. She said, well, I don't know. And this kept happening. We were supposed to have stopped the revival meeting on Wednesday, but God got into it, so we continued it through Friday. I'm glad we did, because Thursday night, a guy came forward and he said, I've been a church member for 40 years, a deacon for 20. He said, but tonight I became a Christian. And anyway, just that one made it worth it. But Friday morning, Susan said, Ronnie, I'm going crazy. Every night during the invitation, I feel like I need to go forward. And I said, Susan, do you think the devil's telling you you're lost? And she said, yeah, that's what it is. I said, no. Jesus said, a house divided against itself will not stand. The devil will never tell you during an invitation that you need to go forward and get saved. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It's the work of the Holy Spirit to convict of sin and of righteousness. I said, if that's happening, Susan, God is trying to tell you that you need to get saved. She said, well, I don't know. I've got to go get ready for tonight. And she went towards the back, didn't make it to the bathroom, got down beside the bed and prayed and invited Jesus to come into her heart. I baptized her the following Sunday, and God showed me something, and this is what God showed me. I don't know if my wife was saved 36 years ago or 26 years ago, but I know she's saved now. Amen? Amen. Now listen, and this is the truth that has helped so many people. If my wife was saved 36 years ago, and 26 years ago she prayed again, got baptized again, even though she was already saved, God didn't get mad at her for making sure she was saved. Y'all hear me? I left home when I was 14. I've been on my own since I was 14. I lived on the streets in New Orleans. And I've learned how to read folks. Being in the hood in Memphis, I've learned how to read folks. And that's why I come out here when I'm preaching, so I can see your eyes. Amen? And I've learned how to read folks. And I'll be given invitations sometimes. And I'll see folks and they're, boy, they got a bulldog grip on the back of that pew. And they'll start to come and they'll lean back. And they'll start to come, and I know what's going through their mind. They're thinking, boy, I feel like I need to go, but what would everybody say? Maybe I'm not saved, but I'm a Sunday school teacher. Or I'm a deacon. I prayed that prayer, but I don't know that I'm saved. And I tell folks, look, just make sure God won't get mad at you for making sure. Amen. And you can leave this place tonight with the sweetest peace in your heart. And you can know that you know that you know that when you die, you'll go to be with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, that guy that led me to Jesus was on a Tuesday night. Came and got me on Wednesday. Went to church. I made it public and he baptized me that night. He came and got me Thursday. I got in the car with him. He said, who are some of your friends? So we went and led somebody to Jesus. Amen. And he taught me that the normal thing for saved folks to do is to share their faith. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. That's what saved people do. We witness. That's what we, in the hood, I'd say that's what we're supposed to do. That's what saved people are supposed to do. We're supposed to witness. Now, God tells us in Ezekiel chapter 3, and then He repeats it in Ezekiel chapter 33. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 through 21, listen. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way. Now listen, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hands. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hands. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous man sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, and also thou hast delivered thy soul. When I was a student at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary, I went to Dr. Corky Ferris. And I said, Dr. Ferris, what does Ezekiel 3:18 mean? He said, I'm not sure. I went to Dr. Roy Beeman. I said, Dr. Beeman, what does Ezekiel 3:18 mean? He said, I'm not sure. I went to Dr. Skinner. And I said, Dr. Skinner, what does Ezekiel 3:18 mean? And he said, I'm not sure, but I know that somehow we will be held accountable for those that we could have witnessed to that we don't witness to. I was reading a Hebrew commentary on Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. And I believe this may be what it means. He said that the watchman would stand at the gate and stand at the parapet of the wall, and he would watch for the enemy. And if the enemy came, he would give the warning. And he would tell the folks in the city, the enemy's coming! The enemy's coming! There's danger! And all the soldiers would arise and they would defend the wall. They would keep the enemy from coming in. But if the enemy came and they found the man asleep, they would not kill him. Because even the enemy had no respect for a watchman that went to sleep. They would not kill him. They would put him in chains. Then they would go in the city and they would slaughter the city. And then the watchman would have to drag the bodies to the middle of the city where they would burn them. And he would be dragging the bodies of his family, the bodies of his friends, the bodies of the other soldiers, and their blood would be on his hands. And I believe that that's probably the closest interpretation of that verse that I found. But God's Word says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction. And God's Word is applicable to all of us. Amen? And God's Word is saying, folks, I've made you a watchman. We're the watchman today. We're the people on the wall that are supposed to be warning the world. There's danger! There's danger! Without Christ, you're in danger! The Bible says, broad and wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And we're to be standing on the road saying, get off this road, turn from here, you're going to destruction, you're going to hell. And yet we're not doing it, and because of that, many of us will go to heaven with bloody hands. And I don't want to have bloody hands. I don't want to go to heaven with bloody hands. I want my hands to be clean. I want my conscience to be clear. I want to know that I did all that I could do to win the lost. And Brother Bill Gordon ruined me. He ruined me. If he hadn't, I wouldn't be preaching to you on this tonight. But he ruined me. And he taught me that the natural thing is to share your faith. The natural thing is to witness. And by the grace of God, I didn't keep track when I first got saved, but I did when I went to Memphis in 1987. We've seen over 55,000 folks come to Jesus. Amen. Amen. All glory to Him. Praise God. It's not me. And if God can use an old ex-drunken drug addict like me, think what He'd do with you if you just make yourself available. Just think, man, you have more talent, more ability than I'll ever have. If you just make yourself available. So I want to share some things tonight on soul winning. Number one, soul winning is not a gift. I've had folks say, boy, I wish I had the gift of soul winning, Brother Ronnie. I say, I wish I did too, but there's no such thing. Soul winning is a command. We've been commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've been commanded to be a witness. Go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. That's what the young folks did earlier. They went out and did a bring them back alive. They went out into the highways and byways and compelled them to come in. And hallelujah. Three of them prayed to receive Christ. Amen. See, we've been commanded to do that. You know, there are sins of commission. If I lied on my income tax, that'd be a sin of commission, right? This means yes. If I did a stick up on Brother Tim and robbed him, took all $2 he's got in his wallet. Y'all need to pay him more. I'm not kidding. I don't know how much he makes, but I'm not kidding. Amen. Amen, Brother Ronnie. Said that real quiet. That'd be stealing. That'd be a sin of commission. Amen? But if Tim was standing out there and a car was fixing to hit him and I didn't try to warn him or say anything to him and he died, that would be a sin of omission. Sins of omission are just as bad as sins of commission. Jesus said, he that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Y'all with me? And when you know that you're supposed to be a witness and you don't, it's a sin. Well, soul winning is not a gift. When we don't do it, it's a sin. People that don't do it may not be saved because it's evidence of being saved. In the book of Acts in chapter 1, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. See, I've got a lot of Pentecostal friends. I really do. I spent 3 years in the Pentecostal movement and before I became a Baptist preacher, and I was a Pentecostal preacher. Hallelujah. And I'd preach anywhere. Amen. Amen. Folks want to run and dance, I just let them settle down. I go back to preaching again. Hallelujah. But not much bothers me when I'm preaching. And I've heard folks bark like dogs and everything else. But anyway, that's not here or there. But anyhow, my Pentecostal friends say that the evidence of being saved is that you're talking in tongues. I say, well, show me in the Bible where it says that. And they'll say, well, it says this, and because it says this, it means this. And I'd say, well, it doesn't say that the evidence of being saved is that I'll talk in tongues. I said, you're insinuating that. And they said, well, over here it says this, and because it says this, it means it. I said, no, it's not saying that the evidence of being saved is that I'll speak in tongues. Now I'll take them over to Acts chapter 1. I'll say, the Bible says right here, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. The evidence of being saved is that you'll be a witness. If there's any evidence, that you'll be a witness. Oh me. Not amen, but oh me. You see, as a Baptist, I believe that when God saved me, that Jesus didn't rip my chest open and step in my heart. The Holy Spirit came in. Amen? Can we agree on that? Amen. I believe that I got all of Jesus that I needed. I believe I got everything I needed when I got saved. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, I know that whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Now, when God saved me, He saved me forever and He gave me everything I needed. Amen? I received the Holy Ghost. So when I got saved, the Holy Ghost came upon me. Right? This means yes. When you got saved, the Holy Ghost came upon you, right? So why aren't you being a witness? Maybe you just got a little religion and not a relationship. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Listen, the next verse says, and all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself and given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. If you've been reconciled to God, you've been given a ministry of reconciliation. If you've been saved, you've got a ministry. And your ministry is going out trying to reconcile men to Jesus. He said, well, what does that mean, Brother Ronnie? Well, he explains it. He says, to wit, or meaning this, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God has given us the job to do, and He's given us the tool to do it with, the Word of God. Amen? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I don't have to be anything special to go out and win somebody to Jesus. All I've got to do is go out and share the Word. Amen? And you can do that. If I can do it, you can do it. If you're saved, you got the job to do. Do you want to be a witness? I mean, really, do you want to be a witness? Man, some of the sweetest days of my life have been whenever I've seen folks come to Christ. I remember one time down in Baton Rouge, I'd led this young man to the Lord. He filled out a card, and I went to go follow up on him a few days later. And I broke one of my cardinal rules. I was by myself. The only time I've ever been hurt, I was by myself. And standing on a street corner, some dope dealers ran me down with a car and tried to kill me. That's the only time I've ever been hurt. And so anyway, I went to see this guy, and I went and knocked on the door. I broke another one of my cardinal rules. The guy opened the door, and I smelled, man, pot smoke just came out and hit me, and I started getting a buzz just standing there. And he said, come on in. I said, well, I'm looking for so-and-so. He said, he's in here, come on in. And I walked in. It was dark. Man, the smoke was making my eyes burn. I was starting to giggle a little. I'm kidding, I wasn't. Some of y'all know, don't you? But anyway, God's forgiven you. And so, if you say. And so anyway, I was standing there and my eyes began to make out. And man, there were men all in there sitting around the wall. Do you realize where I was at? Here I was in there with a whole bunch of guys in there high. Nobody knew where I was. Man, God gave me boldness, and I stepped up and started preaching and witnessing. Almost every one of them asked Jesus to save them. Amen? Man, that's a sweet time, I'll guarantee you. When I was in Russia and we'd throw them Bibles out, people would run up and start kissing our hands saying, thank you for bringing us the Word of God. God's let me see things you can't buy for $1 million. People have said, thank you, Brother Ronnie, thank you. I've waited all my life for this, preacher. I've been waiting for this all my life. I remember walking up in a bunch of gangster disciples. I said, I'm scared. They said, you don't have to be scared of us, Brother Ronnie. I said, I'm not scared of you. I'm scared for you. They said, what do you mean? I said, man, I've been preaching to you guys for 12 years and y'all still out here doing dirty work. I said, I'm scared that you've gone too far and stayed too long. They said, what's that? I said, I'm scared you've sinned and sinned unto death. And I preached on that. Two of them were looking worried. I said, you're worried about it, aren't you? See, remember, I learned how to read folks. And they said, yeah. I said, well, you hadn't gone too far and stayed too long. See, if you're worried about it, you hadn't. And they got saved, amen. I went to Foot Home Housing Project. It was in January. And boy, it was so cold, I couldn't hardly hold a Bible in my fingers. My fingers were numb. I broke another one of my rules. I didn't have anybody to go with me. I went by myself. And I walked up in a courtyard, and that wind was howling through the courtyard, and I saw a guy walking across, and I hollered at him and waved him down. He came over. Man, it was cold. It was below freezing. And I sat there and witnessed to him, showing him scripture, and we bowed our head. When we bowed our head for him to pray and ask Jesus to save him, I heard a door shut. And he prayed and walked off, and there's another person standing there. They wanted to get saved. And I shared the scripture with them, and we bowed our heads. When we bowed our head, I heard a door shut. When they stood up, raised their head up to leave, there's another person standing there wanting to get saved. People were standing in their doors waiting to come outside and get saved. Folks are so hungry. When you go where God wants you to go, people will run you down to get saved. We've had people, you've seen it, people running down the street saying, wait a minute, we've been wanting to give our hearts to Jesus. Wait on us. Don't leave yet. When you go where God wants you to go, people will run you down to get saved. And they'll do it with you if you'll let them. Do you want to be a soul winner? The best opening I've ever used. I used it before I became a preacher. And I still use it sometimes. And I'll walk up to people and I'll say, I'm a Christian. They'll say, okay. I'll say, what kind of Christian would I be if I didn't ask you about your soul? What kind of Christian would I be if I didn't talk to you about Jesus? Every person I've ever asked that said you wouldn't be a good one. Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of times, they've said you wouldn't be a good one. They expect us to do it. Why? Because even lost people know that's what we're supposed to do. Now I tell folks, I'm a preacher. What kind of preacher would I be if I didn't care about your soul? If I didn't love you? So you wouldn't be a good one. But that's the best opening I've ever used. Now let me tell you the best way to show somebody that they're a sinner. I ask them, how many times would I have to how many times do I have to murder somebody to be a murderer? You've heard this before, hadn't you? Once? How many times do I have to steal something to be a thief? How many times do I have to tell a lie to be a liar? Once. Yeah, I heard somebody say it. I'm a liar. You are too, Brother Tom. But I love you. We in trouble, ain't we? Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and the unbelievers and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. That's talking about going to hell. All you have to do is tell one lie to go to hell. But see, God knew that. And God didn't want us to go to hell. So He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. See, that's the best way to show somebody that they're lost. Another way, and I used it with the young folks tonight. I asked on a scale of 0 to 100, with 0 being if you died right now, you'd go to hell, and 100 being if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. I say, what would your number be? What would your number be? First girl I asked, the first time I ever used it, she said, I'd be a 75. The second girl said, 56.4. I don't know how she got it. But I said, young ladies, I want you to know I love you, but I just set you up. I said, young lady, you just told me a 75% chance. She said, yeah. I said, you just told me a 25% chance if you died, you'd go to hell. I said, are you okay with that? She said, no. I said, do you want to be 100? She said, yeah, and I told her how to be 100. See, that's how easy it is to share the gospel with somebody. I mean, what are they going to do? Spit on you? Had a big old guy in jail one time. Walked up to him and said, man, my name's Ronnie Tulson. I'm telling folks about Jesus. He spit right in my face. I wiped it off and said, man, listen, I left my little boy at the house this morning crying. He wanted me to stay home and watch cartoons with him. I told him, said, I can't. I got to go tell somebody about Jesus. I said, there's folks down there at that jail that don't know Jesus. He fell to his knees and started crying. See, he had a little boy. He would have given anything to go be with his little boy. He began to cry. He said, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. God saved him. What they going to do? Spit on? What they going to do? Stab you? Going to send me to heaven? Go ahead. And what are they going to do? They're not going to do anything unless God allows it to happen. Amen? I'm not bad, but I serve a God who's in control of this thing. Amen? All the bad guys can't kill me until God gets ready for me to go. And all the doctors can't save me when God gets ready for me to go. And I rest in that. You can too. So why don't you witness? Do you want to be a witness? Do you want to be a soul winner? People have said, oh, Brother Ronnie, you can't win anybody. I know I can't. Jesus is the only one that does the saving. Amen? He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him and I will raise him up at the last day. Unless God's dealing with a man, that man's not going to get saved. But the Bible does say, he that winneth souls is wise. So there is such a thing as being a soul winner. Do you want to be a soul winner? Do you want to be a witness? James chapter 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto him that ask him? Do you think that it's a good thing if you pray and say, God, help me to be a soul winner? Is that a good prayer? This means yes, folks. Amen? Amen. That's a good prayer. And God will move heaven and earth to make you a soul winner if you ask Him to. Ask Him to give you a burden for souls. Say, break my heart over men and women and boys and girls that are going to hell. That are going to a place that wasn't prepared for them. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. Ask God to break your heart over souls. Ask God to give you eyes to see. So whenever you look at folks, you'll look at them and you'll realize, man, they're going to live forever. They're either going to heaven or they're going to hell. Ask Him to give you eyes to see. Ask Him to give you ears to hear. To hear when people are crying out. And people, if you listen, if you learn to listen, you'll learn to hear what they're saying even though they're not saying it. You'll learn to hear that they're hurting. You'll learn to hear that they're trusting in something that's not scriptural. And you'll know how to talk to them. Ask God, say, give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. Give me a heart to love folks with. Because I found that if you love people, they'll respond to it. See, when I was a little boy, what I wanted more than anything else was for somebody to put their arm around my neck and say, hey, I love you and you're all right with me. I didn't have it. Instead, the Baptist deacon's wife said, your daddy's a drunk, your mama's a harlot, and you're trash, boy. Stay away from my kids. I wish she would have been saved. I said, Brother Ronnie, you can't judge. I'm not judging. I'm being a fruit inspector. Amen? You can tell when somebody's saved or lost. And that's not judging them. God will give you a heart to love those who are lost. God will give you a heart to love those who aren't like you. God will give you a heart you can put your arm around an old drunkard's neck and his teeth are so rotten, his breath makes you want to throw up and look at him and say, man, I love you. And you're all right with me. And if you love folks, they'll love you back. Because people want to be loved. I was on the streets one night. This guy started screaming and hollering. I saw him coming running across the parking lot. He was screaming how he was going to kill me and what he was going to do to me. The closer he got, the tighter my jaw got. I thought I was going to have to try to stop him. But before he got to me, a gangster disciple came running out of the darkness and bumped him. Said, uh-uh, that's Brother Ronnie. He loves us. We don't talk to him like that. The guy said, I don't care who he is. I'm going to God. GD knocked him down, said, you don't understand. You say another word, I'm going to kill you. And the guy left. Said, when you love folks, they'll fight for you. When you love folks, they'll respond to it. God's Word says, and some have compassion on them and make a difference. Do you want to be a soul winner? First, you got to be saved. Do you want to be a soul winner? Secondly, ask God to give you eyes to see, ears to hear, a mind to know what to do, and a heart to love the lost. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I love You, and I know that You and You alone are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ever hope for or ask for. I ask You now, God, to do a work in this place. Dear Holy Ghost of God, sweep through here. I pray that You would draw with cords of love those who are lost. I pray that You would speak to their hearts right now. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure, I want you to pray right now and say, Lord Jesus, show me what I need to do. Show me, Lord Jesus, whether I'm going to heaven or whether I'm not. If I'm saved, give me the sweetest peace I've ever had. And if not, make me miserable. That's a good prayer. You pray it right now. Say, God, I want to know. I don't want to gamble with eternity. I want to know, God. And you ask God to speak to your heart, and He will. Ask Him right now. Say, God, speak to my heart. While our heads are still bowed and our eyes are closed, if God just spoke to your heart and you're not sure, remember, God won't get mad at you for making sure. If you're not 100%, don't leave this place unsure. Don't leave here 89. Don't leave here 99. Leave here 100 tonight. Just ask Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come before You with empty hands. And I ask You to take me and wash away all my sin, past, present, and future. Cover me now with Your righteousness. I ask You to be the Lord of my life. I believe with my heart that God has raised You from the dead. Save me, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for loving me, for dying for me, and for saving me. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed,